Crop circles. Interesting subject. A lot of people don't understand the dynamics associated with the designs themselves. I mean, everybody gets caught up in who did what, how it got there, orbs, lights. However, it got there is only partially important. What is important is what the pattern's doing when it's there. And the interesting part that they play in humanity's evolution. I mean, humanity's spirituality is always a questionable subject. But I think one of the things that humanity needs to also understand and recognize is that there are many steps to growth, and there are many areas to growth. And if you're going to develop and improve and progress, then any older techniques that you may have under your belt, you may have to let go of in order to obtain new ones. That's the hard part. See, you get yourself into a comfort zone where you think, okay, this is all I need to know, and I'm quite happy with this, and I'll just keep working with this from now till whenever. But as circumstances change, so too does the reaction. Because as evolution progresses, the old effects start to become less and less effective. It's a bit like a drug. You have to keep modifying the drug in order to keep up with the changing times. Crop patterns are here to help people to understand what change is all about. Now, the only thing you've seen so far, apart from the government usual cover-up, is other areas of what we call restricted disclosure. This is where the information keeps recycling, the same volume, the same piece. It's like saying, okay, the only pieces in the alphabet that we want the public to know are between A and F. So all you keep hearing about are the letters between A and F. But what about the rest? What about G and onwards? So you're only getting part of the story. And when you actually see or listen to different lectures, or you see lectures, or you interview different people, you start to recognize that everybody has their limits as to their understanding of where something can go. And that comes back to how they perceive things within their own mind. As you progress through life, unless you understand that one conscious thought that controls everything within your universe and within you and your environment, if you don't understand its potential, you're not going to have the ability to harness it. You're not going to have the ability to listen to it, because you limit yourself. So when you see something and you recognize it for what it is, that's all well and good. But you've also got to be able to step beyond that point. And that's the tricky part, because then you are required to step out of your comfort zone. And that comfort zone is very important to a lot of people, whether it's other researchers in the crop fields, whether it's a scientist in a laboratory. You all have these comfort zones. And if the level of your knowledge and the sum of what you know is equal to your ability to perceive, then you've got limitations. So you've got to be able to see beyond what you know. And that requires a very precise way of thinking. And you need to learn it. It's not something that you can pick up out of a box. I've done this all my life. My father was a Freemason. He understood where I was coming from. He taught me all the intricacies of being able to open my mind up to other possibilities. So I was taught and trained to look and not limit. And that's why I see things a lot differently from others. Many people have said we're about 500 years ahead of where everybody else in humanity is regarding the way we think. But we have a lot to offer. And if people aren't prepared to listen, then they're not prepared to grow. As somebody once said to me, out of the millions of people that do what they do, spiritually, New Age and otherwise, if what they were doing was so good, why is the world getting worse? That bears a thought. Because if it only takes one person to create a change, and you have millions of people focusing on the same sort of techniques and applications. Might have worked in the past, but it sure as hell isn't working now. What do those people need to do? They need to step out of that comfort zone and learn something new. And in order for them to learn something new, they have to be able to recognize what it is they need to learn. That's the tricky part again. Because unless you know what it is you need, how are you going to recognize it? Therefore, the first step is to learn to have an open mind. Not be limited to what you think or know. Open up the mind, let the superconscious power you through the different doorways necessary to get you where you need to be. A lot of people say, yes, but you know, what about love and harmony and everything else? I said, that's fine. That's the physical aspect. And you need that. That gives you a sense of being. But if you walk into a crop pattern, what's the first thing you do? You realize a sense of being by recognizing how you feel about the pattern. So it's getting you in touch with yourself. Now, a lot of people don't bother doing this because they don't know how to recognize themselves. Many people think, oh, well, I need to run away from this. You know, I'm going to go and hide in the closet. Trouble is, the problem's in the closet with them. It comes down to attitude. Your ability to perceive what it is you need to do is only limited by your perception and or the way it appears, the challenge. But then, if everything appears as a challenge from a negative or neutral viewpoint, unless you're able to have an open mind, everything's going to appear as a challenge. Even somebody that has more information than you is going to appear as a challenge. So you've got to recognize what it is you need to get hold of. And this is where the patterns come in. They give you the understanding. There's so much science tied in to each individual design. And the understanding built in to the inner program of each individual design, whether it's human or otherwise, is irrelevant. You have to recognize the potential of the design itself, the symbolism associated with it. I mean, it's like that pattern that turned up at Milk Hill in 2008. Everybody was going 8th of the 8th, 2008. So it all added up to 888. So the pattern that turned up at the bottom of Milk Hill was an 8. Surprising? I don't think so. Conscious mind can create all sorts of things. But conscious mind can also dictate who needs to put it down, and you get the incentive drive to go and do it. But you also get the other people that might want to put something down and will go and do it just for the heck of it. Regardless of how it gets there, the point is, it's there. Attitudes have no place in a design. You have to have the open mind. If you start throwing attitudes around, or somebody starts throwing an attitude at you in a design, easiest solution, walk out of it, because obviously those people that having that are having that bad attitude are having a hard time handling the energy that's in the design. Thus, the bad attitude comes to the surface, a bit like a cleansing. You come back to the spiritual understanding of why that takes place, you realize that each pattern can cause a release technique. Brings out the reality, brings out the true specimen that exists within. So you see things as they really are. And this is what we observe with people when they go into designs. We watch them very closely. Over the last 15 years, we've sat back and we've observed, we've watched, we've waited, we've studied, we've analyzed, we've listened to other people making lectures and workshops and writing books and doing all sorts of things relative to the patterns. And guess what? They've all missed the point. They all go into it thinking, oh, look, you know, how much money can I make from this? Or what does this represent? And they're all into the merchandising side of it. And that's fine. But it doesn't go anywhere. The patterns are not there just for people to make money. The patterns are there as a growth tool. They're there as a growth tool to assist you to expand beyond what you already know. And if you don't allow that to happen, you keep doing the same thing year after year after year. You don't look for other avenues. Here's something to think about. I bet you didn't know that each individual pattern is a coded program within itself. It has a language parameter that is designed to tap into an energy force that can build up and release over a period of time. Did you know, for instance, that each pattern has a vortex? Some of them have multiple vortexes. Some of them have energy emissions going on all the time, for years after. Even though it's been harvested, plowed, dug, re-sown, it still has that imprint because the design is imprinted into the ground. So therefore you have an energy and a design parameter that tells you that there is a way of tapping into free energy using specific types of geometric form. Now why am I the only one really talking about this? Because I've been brave enough to keep my mind open and go beyond what they say and not get stuck in the rut. All I'm saying to everybody out there right now is if you want to know what each pattern represents, you need to go in it with no expectation. You need to go in it with an open mind. And you need to be able to accept what happens when you're in it. But remember, bad experience, out. Good experience, stay put. Because if other people are generating a bad experience, it's best to wait until they're gone and then go back in. They are there to just try and destroy whatever's in there. And they'll do it, in many cases, subconsciously. This is this light-dark battle that goes on between the two forces that exist within the universe. It's a constant. It's an energy against energy thing. It always has been, it always will be. Some people have that energy going on in their everyday lives. But you have to open your mind and recognize what is possible. I mean, architectural footprints. How do you know that the shape of the house that you're living in right now is healthy for you? If you don't understand the dynamics of the energy relative to the shape. See what I mean? You could be living in a box that's doing you more harm than good. You could be living in a structure that's doing you more harm than good. You could be working in a structure that's not healthy for you. Even down to the Kylie process that we've studied for years and we've been developing. We understand that each individual geometric shape has an effect on energy, even down to the placement of certain objects within that shape. And in a crop pattern, there are different shapes within a shape. So you have dynamics going on, and you have to have the ability and the knowledge to recognize what it is that's taking place. So the hidden program is part and parcel of what you need to know. Very shortly we're going to be releasing a lecture series on it. Now all I'm going to say is, if anybody wants to know any more, you're going to need to book us for a lecture or a workshop to find out. We're quite happy to lecture anywhere in the world, but the knowledge that we've got, we can only do so much over the internet. Every day we add more and more pieces of information. But if people aren't prepared to listen, what's the point? It's like teaching a child what's right and what's wrong. Eventually they get the message, but you have to repeatedly keep saying it. So when people walk into patterns, they're collecting all this data, sure. But how do they know what to do with it? You can't just take it for chance. You can't just expect your superconscious to say, okay, you need to do this. You need to have conscious control. That's not recognizing responsibility for your very existence. You are here for a purpose. Those patterns are there for a purpose. You have the potential to move mountains. You know, I look at humanity's future. Everybody's tied into the 2012. Can't really blame them. They don't see a future. They see it all coming to some sort of crux point. Because, like everything else in your existence, if all the crop patterns were suddenly to stop and life was to suddenly change and the world would suddenly freeze over and all you'd be left with is a little island in the middle of the Pacific, who's going to live on the island? Who makes the decision? Who wants to survive long enough to be on that island? Well, between you and I think I'd rather not have the freeze over so that all the land masses are available. Humanity becomes complacent with what it has, not what it could have. So again, you've got that comfort zone. The patterns basically give you the potential to open up new doors in science, technology, and a whole range of other aspects. Applications. You can design anything once you understand what it is that's inside those designs. Okay, here's an example. A helix matrix, which is a helix form. Everybody knows what a helix form looks like. It's like that. Join all the whole stack of eights together, end on end, and you've got a helix. Within the loop of a helix, when it's formed within laboratory conditions, is zero gravity. Now imagine if you had the potential to expand that bubble, that zero gravity potential. You'd be able to have all sorts of technologies developed for spacecraft, for vehicles flying through the air. There'd be a whole range of different things you can do, but it doesn't just end there. If a crop design can depict and give you the potential to design such helix matrix values, what else can they do? So you expand your mind even further into the aspects of understanding what crop designs are. You talk about terraforming, you talk about space flight, you talk about traveling faster than the speed of light, you talk about interdimensional travel. There are a whole range of different things. You talk about medical devices the size of your thumbnail that could repair internal damaged organs back from 50% damaged to 100% perfect in a matter of hours. Even less. The point is, there are applications for those designs. And people are not taking notice of those sides of the patterns themselves. They're so tied up in the effects and how they got there, they're not taking it beyond. Now, when I say effects, I'm talking about soil samples, plant samples. Fine, that is a nice start, but this has been going on for years. And I haven't seen anything change. I know companies that are developing vortex energy technology to the point of where free energy is applicable within that technology. I can tell you that a crop pattern gave us the frequency. We were able to calculate the frequency that was necessary to separate hydrogen from oxygen in water. So you end up getting more hydrogen out than what energy that you put in to get it out. There's a whole range of different rafts of information associated with the patterns. It's time for change. It's time for people to understand that the old ways don't work anymore. If they did, you'd see an improving planet instead of a worsening one. So it's time to rethink philosophies. It's time to rethink applications. It's time to become aware. And this is a message to politicians, governments, scientists, doctors, researchers, whoever's out there studying and trying to improve humanity. Step out of the cage and look beyond it. Those will be the answers that you need, not the ones sitting in the cage that you still have to find. They're irrelevant and they're no longer applicable. Humanity has moved beyond what's left in the cage. You have to get out more, reach further to recognize what it is that you need. Edgar Mitchell was a very brave man when he said, "Yes, we have had UFO contact." I've known that for years. I sat on a plane going from New York to Cairo at a UFO conference, and I sat next to a CIA agent who was showing me briefs out of a briefcase handcuffed to his wrist. I saw presidential seals with letters. I had letters of recommendation showing from the then director of the CIA approving the guy that was actually showing me the letters to start off with. I have had all these different aspects. I've seen hidden photographs smuggled out of NASA showing humanity doing things in space that they reckon they never did. Sure, you have conspiracy theories and everything else, but you also have other conspiracies, other governmental cover-ups that you don't know about. And that is where the truth lies. Humanity's ability to evolve is not one of conflict. It's one of peace. If humanity wants to survive, it has to learn to live with each other instead of trying to bite everybody else's head off because somebody's got a different belief from you. Okay, so a person doesn't believe in a crop pattern. Just because you do doesn't mean to say it has to stop. Well, it's the same with everything. Religion, maths, science, scientific study, it doesn't matter what it is. Everybody is entitled to their own individual beliefs. You have to learn to live with that. if humanity is to evolve and seriously evolve and survive what is about to take place, then it needs to change its ability to perceive what it desires in its future. The spiritual connections associated with humanity are immense. You have the ability to evolve beyond anything you can possibly imagine. And if the human race was engineered genetically by some alien race long ago, it's irrelevant. You have to study your future. You need to know about that. Find out later. Concentrate on where you are now, not where you once were. You see, humanity's evolution is dependent upon what we call a harmonic variable. This harmonic variable is a frequency that the body and the brain gives off. It's what we call a compatible tone pair. That's what forms your genetic helix. Now, each individual person on the planet has a different compatible pair. But those harmonic frequencies grow, they progress, they improve, they get added to. So hypothetically, if you're looking at it in flat numbers, you could say, okay, well, I'm a 3 when I start and I'm 153 when I die. You've changed your frequency, it's improved. So as you learn things, your frequency raises and gets higher and higher. And this is what we call the raising of the consciousness. The superconscious understands that it needs to increase its potential in order to expand and progress further. Now, when you go into a pattern, any one of the crop circles, it adds to that frequency. Now, in some cases, it might be too high for you to connect with. And this will give you a slightly uncomfortable feeling. Some people feel sick when they go into these particular types of designs. But that's normal. But if you understood how each individual harmonic pulse of each individual design works, and then understood how each individual energy form within the body works, and there are 144 variables, you find yourself understanding that each part of the body works off a different phase frequency. So then if you tap into that using specific techniques that we've developed, you can heal these areas very, very rapidly. Well, if you'd created the technology using the designs as a parameter, you could do exactly the same thing. So there's a technology bridge there that could be built as well, once you understand the basics. And you have to get the basics first. And to give you a hypothetical example, a harmonic matrix can be 12 feet long, made up of compatible pairs every centimeter. So how many pairs would you have? Now, that's only one. Then you have 144 of these on one side and 144 on the other. So how many variables are there? And somewhere in that big mass, you have to find the pairs that are compatible with each other. You can't just pick them at random. They won't work. You've got to find two that work with each other. It's called harmonic balance. And if you don't find them, you're not going to create the helix, and therefore you're not going to get the effects you want. And believe it or not, there are so many different effects that you can form from each individual helix. You've got no idea where this is going to lead. But I'll tell you now, it's where humanity needs to go. So there's a lot to learn. I don't care whether you're a physics professor or not, or whether you're just your average Joe in the street. You're all equal. You've all got the same potential. No one person is more or less, better or less than the next. You're all one. You've got the universal mind set in your head. The only thing is you don't know quite how to use it. I mean, if you have the ability to go into Los Angeles and create a helix vortex that eradicates pollution, how fabulous would that be? How about replenishing the ozone? How about reducing the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and methane? How about harmonizing earthquakes, taking the stress out of tectonic plates, using the same helix vortex principles? The only thing is, you need to know how to program it. Well, it's all possible. The reason we know that is because we've done it. The point is, we've done it in trial situations, so it's not been that obvious. Because we're not here to do the job for you. We're here to guide. You have to learn, step by step, how to do it yourself. It's almost like, if you give the answer to a question before somebody's learnt how to get the question, then they haven't gained the technique on how to find it. That's a bit like giving a fish to a person in a village, but you have to keep giving them the fish because you haven't taught them how to fish. Teach them how to fish and they'll feed themselves. It's the same principle. You need to learn how to do it yourself. The only way you can do that is to learn to listen and not assume that you already know, because I'll tell you now, you don't. And the reason we know that is because we've also trialed that. We've had lectures with over 250 other therapists in one room, saying, okay, activate this energy and let's see how you go. And I've spent 5 minutes showing them how to do it and an hour and 55 minutes watching them play with it because they'd never contacted it before. Yet they all swore black and blue before we started that they were doing the same as us. How could they be doing the same as us if they hadn't had the access to the energy and weren't aware of what it felt like? So human arrogance and ego tends to get in the way. And you've got to recognize that just because you have a little bit of information doesn't necessarily mean you know it all. We're not saying we know it all, but we are saying that we know a hell of a lot more than most. And that's what we offer. Information to pass on. It's like somebody said to me once, did you ever find the Hall of Records in Egypt? Yes, we did. We also know where the entrance is. Somebody said, well, how did you work that out? I said, well, who's been to Egypt? Well, everybody's been to Egypt at some stage or another. But the ones that remember also know that you can't do anything in Egypt without paying for it. Well, in this particular case, we were shown into an old tomb because we were looking for it. It was a doorway, ginormous, and it was the entranceway. And the person that let us in didn't want any money because he recognized that we'd identified what it was and he'd already known. So therefore, they are waiting for us to go back and do what we know we have to do. But the timing is important. You cannot reveal information too quickly. It has to trickle out a bit at a time. Humanity is not ready for things like this. The first thing you do when you develop something new is you turn it into a weapon. What's the point in that? If I suddenly gave a formula for high energy frequency that could disrupt everything on a molecular level, oh yeah, how quick would it be before it was turned into a weapon? You have to grow beyond the weapon syndrome. Recognize that it's not the be all and end all. And the only way that'll happen is when you learn to live together. Humanity is not going to expand much further than what it is without self-destruction. Because you're on this nasty little cycle. And everything goes back to where it came from. Unless you're prepared to create what we call a coil circle, where it keeps moving forwards. And then you don't go back to where you started. But you're not on that. Humanity is approaching a very dangerous time. It has to identify what it wants. When you have people posturing about nuclear power, saying, well, we are entitled to have it. Sure, everybody's entitled to have nuclear power as long as they manage it properly. But it's not the be-all and end-all, and it's not the answer to an alternative energy source. Because you have a waste byproduct worse than anything else that you can find on the planet. It's worse than oil. So what do you do with it all? You try burying it underground, you try doing all sorts with it. But you've still got the problem. That's like hiding in the closet and taking the problem with you. You look for other alternatives. And nuclear is not the answer. Patton's already told you that. The secret is in the designs. That's all I'm going to say to you. You want power, the secret is in the designs.